This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Al McShirley is a white man who has been fighting white supremacy for almost 60 years. He was an activist in the 1960s, worked with civil rights leaders like Martin Luther King and Stokely Carmichael, became an attorney in the 1980s, and fought for people who were the victims of racial discrimination. He started working with Reverend William Barber in the early 2000s and helped to create the Moral Monday movement. The life of this social justice activist is celebrated in a new film, Al, My Brother. Cash Michaels is a journalist, the producer, writer, and director of the film. Welcome back, Cash. Good to have you here.
It's been too long, Frank.
It has been way too long, but nice to see that you have gotten this film. Tell us about how you decided to make a film about Al McShirley.
In 2016, I was finished my chemotherapy treatments. I was diagnosed with acute leukemia. I had left writing because I write for five black newspapers. And also, my last film was in 2014, Pardons of Innocence, The Wilmington 10. Chemotherapy has a way of taking you off your game, and I decided that I needed to find a good project to get my teeth into. I started to do something on Reverend Barber first, but I realized then that, no, he's really just getting started. That was when he was really getting started as far as becoming a national figure is concerned. He had delivered that tremendous address at the Democratic National Convention. And so when I looked a little bit closer, I said, but Al McShirley, his closest advisor, what do I know about him? And there's something about him that I knew Al personally, but I didn't know a lot about him. And that's when I decided, let me research him. I did. Listening to one of his appearances on this program, for instance, was part of that research. And I decided that this man is 80 years old at the time, but he's lived at least three lifetimes. And so doing a film about him, and it intrigued me even more when I said, having a black filmmaker myself, doing a film about a white civil rights activist, but do it from an African-American point of view, that's intriguing. I don't know if anyone's ever pulled that stunt before. And so I said, let me do it.
Well, talk more about who Al McShirley is and about his contributions and about the three lives, if it's that few, of Al McShirley.
Al McShirley, as I said before, he is an 82-year-old civil rights attorney and activist. He is someone who at a very young age, after graduating UNC at Chapel Hill back in the, around 1960 or so, 59, 60, got into the civil rights movement, began working with Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Stokely Carmichael with the Black Power Movement, and also attorney Floyd McKissick. Really got into the movement. Was not something that he started out doing, but then it got into him, I guess. And next thing you know, Al was out there advocating for poor people of color, advocating for African Americans, went to Kentucky with his second wife, Margaret, to educate the poor white people there in the coal mining community. Was called a communist, was jailed, had his home raided by the authorities, had his personal papers and property confiscated by the sheriff's department out there, soon became the property of the Senate Subcommittee on Un-American Things, was held in contempt of Congress, was going to go to prison. I mean, as I said, this man has lived a number of lifetimes.
Doesn't become an attorney or at least go to law school until 1980. So this is like 20 years in. He says, you know what, maybe law is the way to go, right?
Exactly. Had the famous case with Officer Keith Edwards, who was the first black female police officer for the UNC system, advocated for the UNC housekeepers, sued the systems successfully twice, and then became the closest advisor to Reverend Dr. William Barber. In fact, was the one who said, hey, you preacher who speaks pretty good, I think you should be the one to lead state NAACP back in 2005. And so Al he's been the guy behind the historic Thousands on Jones Street, Moral Mondays. I mean, Al McShirley has given, 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 and at 82, he still is giving. And I said to myself, you know what? This man deserves a film.
There are white allies in the civil rights movement, have been and still are. But, you know, the question is, how thorough are those credentials and what happens to them when they're tested, but also what motivates them? And you talked, Al talks about that in terms of his bedrock understanding that this is not a contemporary issue. This is not about police brutality today, equal opportunity in jobs. This goes way back, and this is a theft through slavery that has never been redressed, and therefore it continues to create problems. And this is something that Al McShirley seemed to understand quite well.
Slavery was the central economic, political, and social, if you think of a circus tent, of a center pole in a circus tent, slavery held up the tent of the Southern society. There's not anyone who will be able to talk me out of that between now and my death.
That's Al McShirley from the new film, Al, My Brother. I'm talking to Cash Michaels, the film's writer, producer, and director. Al, My Brother is going to be screening at the 75th Annual North Carolina NAACP Convention in Raleigh. So tell us more about that, that conviction, and his understanding of the deep history of this. It was not a superficial understanding of what's happening.
Al hates racism. He hates white supremacy. He's seen it up close, so he knows what it's all about. And he is someone who believes very firmly, and I believe that his career as a civil rights activist and attorney affirms to this, that if one man or woman is not free, then no one is free in this country. That burns in him. And he is someone that he sees African Americans as family. Indeed, he is the thing that I didn't expect. When the audience saw the film for the first time on Saturday, October 13th at the Cary Theater, where it world premiered, Al's been married 5 times, and the audience were counting the number of marriages during the course of the film. So when I would go to select, well, you know, Al and Holly, they sadly broke up. However, then Al and blah, 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 they, you know, so forth, everybody started dying laughing. And, you know, I deserve an Academy Award for doing a film that is under 2 hours about a man, 82-year-old man, who has had 5 marriages.
Yeah, and again, as you say, many careers and gone through many iterations. And I think the real proof, particularly when it comes to white allies in this movement, because it is a difficult movement, particularly as the civil rights movement of the 60s, which was about integration. And he worked with, as you say, Martin Luther King. He also worked with Stokely Carmichael, and he worked very closely. And the black nationalist movement became a real sticking point and a point of division among allies and black activists, because it was about nationalism and it was about, you know, get out of this movement.
One of the problems that folks like Stokely Carmichael and others had, particularly with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, was that you had white people leading the movement, but it was black people who had paid the price. Yeah. And so they realized they had to switch gears and get black people to lead the movement.
And he took that leadership role, but didn't exclude Stokely, did not exclude white people, and included Al McShirley, because Al understood why the movement had to take that turn. He understood that deeply. And so when he gets to work with Stokely, who is now directing a campaign for white people, poor whites, because here's where it's not just about race. Al understands that a lot of people are oppressed by this system, poor whites as well. So does Stokely, and there's a common bond here. And talk about his work in Kentucky among the rural South.
Al went to Kentucky along with Margaret Herring, who was his second wife at the time. And their mission was the following, to teach poor whites in the coal mining communities who were being exploited by the coal mining operators that black people are not your enemy. Indeed, to this very day, when we look at the fact that Republicans, for instance, tend to exploit among poor whites the fact that you want to continue to vote for us and we're protecting you from those people getting your tax money. That's an old game, an old trick from back in the 60s, back in the 50s. And that's what Al and Margaret went to Pike County, Kentucky, to tell the poor whites there in the coal mining community that it's a trick. if you and poor blacks got together and really voted and worked hard in this country, you would be the ruling class.
And what's interesting about this is it is at Stokely Carmichael's direction.
Yes.
Stokely Carmichael's in charge of this operation, sends Al, and Al understands the importance of it and goes, here he's talking about it.
We're getting ready to start working with these people who were ex-Klans people, basically. And he says, if I went and said, I want to help you get to know Mrs. Hamer and various other people there, or I go up to the mountains, I want to help you with black lung or strip mining and stuff like that and see if we can't do some of the things we did in Lowndes County, they couldn't get over the fact that it was that this black guy had come to visit them. It takes them 2 days. It takes white people at least 2 or 3 days. What's this black guy doing there? And you can go in and talk, you know, straight about taking on strip mine or stuff like that, just like a union organizer would.
Al McShirley talking about his organizing work in eastern Kentucky and conversation he had with Stokely Carmichael, who organized that campaign. The film is called Al, My Brother. My guest is filmmaker, writer, and director Cash Michaels. The film's going to be screened tonight at the North Carolina NAACP convention in Raleigh. So talk about this, because you mentioned it at the top of the conversation. Here's a black man writing about a white activist. What did you learn, and did it change any of your understanding of the movement and the history?
No, it added to my understanding of the movement, and it made me appreciate it more. I also wanted to do a film, Frank. And by the way, the film screens tomorrow evening, Friday
tomorrow
evening at 9 p.m. at the Raleigh Convention Center, where the NAACP is having their convention. The thing that I wanted to do as a black filmmaker was also do a film that did not put the white sacrifice per the civil rights movement in the background. Every film that we've seen, Eyes on the Prize, you name it, has always said, you know, this happened with Dr. King, with this one, with that one, and Viola Kuzo got killed, on her way from the Selma March, or Goodman and Schwerner were killed. You know, it's always been in the background. I wanted to say, no, it's about time that we say thank you to patriots, folks like Jonathan Daniels, an Episcopalian seminary student who risked his life, who stepped in front of a shotgun blast for a 17-year-old black girl named Ruby Sales in Alabama and was killed, saving her life. We've not heard of Jonathan Daniels. And yet, you go to Connecticut, where he's from, he is legend. The Episcopal Church has literally a shrine to him for what he did for the movement. We've never said thank you to these people. And the reason why we need to say thank you is because black people cannot solve racism alone. We have to work with like-minded people of all colors and races in order to address white supremacy. And so it's about time that we recognize the sacrifices of people who said, you know what, I may be like Goodman and Schwerner, I may be a rich white Jewish kid from New York City, but I'm going to go down to the South and register black people to vote. Why? Because I'm an American. And if there are other Americans in this country who don't have the rights that I do, then that means there's something wrong in this country. We need to say thank you to those people.
And the development of relationships along the way, if that kind of alliance is going to continue and make progress, it's making relationships, I think, that you would agree is important. And I think it's illustrated. I want to play this clip, which is the Reverend William Barber, because the activism continued, as you say, right through the 2000s and helping to organize Moral Monday. Reverend Barber and the family were so close to the family, the kids called him Uncle Al. Now you got to set this story up because Uncle Al was in the back seat with his son. He whispers something to his son. His son starts laughing. They get out of the car. His son goes, tells the other kids something behind closed doors. They're all laughing. And then Reverend Barber had to figure out what the heck it was that Al told his son.
So I put my ear to the door because I want to know what is this. And what they were doing is William would say, if somebody, he would say, Ben, say this. And Ben would say, if somebody tries to take your civil rights, what do you do? And William would say, sue the son of a. And I just went. So my wife came out the door and happened to hear them in the midst of saying the B part of the son of a. What are y'all doing? And they all, Uncle Al taught us. And I called, I said, Al, what? He said, well, that's what you do. He said, if they try to take white from women, sue the son. I said, Lord, Al, you can't teach. But the point is, Al believes that the law is alive, that the Constitution is a living document. And that, and it is, if one person's constitutional and civil right, constitutional promises and civil rights are violated, it's wrong.
That's Reverend William Barber talking about Al McShirley in the new film, Al, My Brother. I'm talking with Cash Michaels, who created the film. Al, My Brother, is going to screen at the 75th Annual North Carolina NAACP Convention in Raleigh tomorrow. And I think that's another message in this, or let me ask you if it is, not only about that alliance, how it contributed to the movement to date and how it could contribute going forward, but also this hope in the law that this Constitution in this country, to be a patriot and a true American, is not to secede from this country, but in fact to participate in its law and, as Martin Luther King said, cash the check that you wrote a while ago.
Fight for it. You know, we remember during the Tea Party movement, they kept saying we want to take back our country. And isn't it amazing that now, what, some 10 years later, there are people who are saying exactly the same thing, and they are not Tea Partiers at all. They are people who are shocked by what happened per the election in 2016, and they've seen their country, per their perspective, go down the drain very quickly. And as far as they're concerned, no, this is not what I want to raise my country, raise my children to grow up in. I want my country back. It wasn't perfect before, but my goodness, we did not see anything like we're seeing now. And so that's what you do. You utilize what you have, not violence. You use the law. You use moral leadership. And I think people like Reverend Barber, Al McShirley, Dr. King taught us those things, are teaching us those things. And I think they're good lessons.
Cash Michaels, journalist, writer, director, producer of the new film, Al, My Brother, thanks for this lesson. Good to talk with you, Cash.
Hope is not too long.
No, it's the film, you know, you got to go see it. It'll be, can we go see this? The screening at the 75th Annual North Carolina NAACP Convention?
Sure.
All right, and that's tomorrow.
Yes.
All right.
9 o'clock.
You can find out more and how to do that at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, and Amanda Magnus. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.